Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The Michelin Countdown to Green on IMSA Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the 72nd running of the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring. This is Michelin Countdown to Green. I'm John Hindup, overlooking the start-finish line. Slightly overcast this morning, but temperature already up to 21 Celsius in the air. That's 70 Fahrenheit. And rather chilly 23 Celsius on the track, actually. That's about as cool as we've seen it all week. The formalities are going on in the pit lane beneath my feet. We've just had the driver introductions and plenty of razzmatazz to go with that. The booth alongside me, our Global Broadcast Centre, Jeremy Shaw, down in the pit lane. It's our CrowdStrike pit lane reporters. Let's check in with them first. Good morning to Shay Adam.
Good morning, John. Good morning to everybody tuning in for the 72nd running of the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring. It's going to be a good one and a very warm one, and I am actually making my way down to the tail end of the grid because it's changed quite substantially since we last left in qualifying. Starting off with the 57 Windward Racing Mercedes, this car which qualified on pole position in the GTD class in the hands of Phil Ellis, found to have what are not the homologated sensors within the car. They were actually additional sensors that the team was running to try and keep track of the car. They have been moved to the back of class. Their times were taken away. So that means that Windward will be starting, well, not last, because then, bombshell, we had another change to the grid. The 23 Tri-RC Competizione Ferrari changed their starting drivers. So they then moved to the back of the grid. But guess what? They are not the last car. They are not even close to being the last car, because all of the Chevrolet Corvettes were disqualified after tech. They were found to be running out of homologation. Now, what part? We don't know. The team not willing to say at the exact time. Oh, we do know. John, that's updated since I last talked to the team before the sun came up this morning.
No, but I can tell you, Shay, it was additional bracing on the under tray that was out of homologation for all of the four cars.
Well, and the significant part of that is that it's not just the factory effort cars, it's also the AWA cars, which means that all four of them had made the same change, which you would expect would make the car stronger throughout the course of the race. So it can't be something bad, but it's been made since homologation.
Correct.
That's the problem.
And the key thing is that working with the series, they have managed to get that homologated overnight. The official line, the four Corvettes that qualified Friday, were equipped with additional diffuser reinforcement, the purpose of the modification solely to increase reliability. So the sanctioning body was not informed before qualifying. Corvette Racing accepts IMSA's decision and has worked with the series technical staff on an approved solution for the race. That's the official line on all four of those cars. Shay?
And now let's hear from one of the drivers, Nico Veroni. Welcome back to Sebring. You did this race last year in a P3 car. How different is it in a GT?
Well, actually, yeah, it's pretty different. I was lucky last year to do also the WEC race on Friday, so yeah, that was really good, also with the Corvette. So I got the experience, and this CO6 GT3 car drove really similar to the C8. So actually for me it's quite, you know, I got some practice, let's say, on it. But for us, talking about this year, it's been really tough coming into here. We didn't have any test day, so we just show up straight on Thursday and kind of set up the car and send it, which we were really happy with the balance. We were missing some performance, so we kind of did some changes for today. Well, lucky we are starting last, but the good thing is that it can't get worse from here. So, yeah, we will do our best to go up the field. It's a 12-hour race. We know Sebring is wild, and yeah, it can get us some really nice spectacle. So, yeah, we need to be consistent, no mistakes, and try to finish the race, and I think we will be up there.
Finishing the race is the big goal. Like you said, new car, still getting to grips with it and learning. But starting from the back, that's not the worst thing in the world for a 12-hour race.
No, that's right. You mean, like we were joking now with our engineer, Baptiste, it can get worse, you know. Consistency is key. So the worst that can happen is we are the same. But no, yeah, for us, Daytona was really difficult. We had a lot of issues. Luckily, Pratt Miller and AWA, they get on top of it. And Pratt Miller did a great job. With the support, the customer support, and how they develop. And so far, we didn't have any problems this weekend, so that talks really well about how we develop the car. And, yeah, Sebring is, I think, the toughest race of the calendar because it's 12 hours, but the track is really demanding for the cars, for the drivers. So it's I feel it's the most realistic endurance race, you know, like the proof to cars, to prove the cars and to prove the drivers. So, yeah, I feel if we did good today, we're in a good position for the rest of the season.
Nothing but good luck today, Nico.
Thank you so much.
And now down to the other end of the pit lane. It's one of those things. If I can't actually see the other end of the pit lane, is it actually there? Nick Damon in the CrowdStrike pit lane. Can you confirm that for me?
I am here. I'm Sebring. No, seriously, you can't see three cars away. And a man with a massive fan club, it's Jordan Taylor, though, in fairness. It's not for you. It's not for the car 40. It's for your alter ego, isn't it?
Yeah, there's some Ronnie Sandstorm fans out here. I feel like Sebring is the right demographic for that alter ego. But yeah, it's great to see the fans. Sebring always brings one of the best crowds, you know, all around the world for sports car racing. So it's good to be back. Hopefully we can have a good day. But yeah, the heat's going to be the main thing. Double sitting tires through the mid part of the day and just kind of surviving until we get to the night.
The Acuras happier overall than they were at Daytona, where you were kind of a little bit off the pace?
Yeah, I think so. Daytona was a struggle. I think everyone saw it. We just didn't have, you know, the outright pace to kind of battle for any position. So a third for us there was kind of a victory. Here we've qualified third. Louis did a great job in qualifying. Ricky actually had a great lap as well, but got put to the back. So I think we've got, you know, a good shot at it if we stay out of trouble. And as we saw last year, at the end of the race, kind of anything can happen. So we just need to kind of, you know, keep it kind of in one piece and have a car to fight for the win at the end.
The big worry, of course, is tyre wear. You've got a limited number of sets. It's going to get very, very hot during the middle of the day. I mean, how much off the pace will you have to run to save the tyres? Will you see 3-4 seconds a lap off?
Yeah, I think the average pace will be quite slow through the mid part of the day, especially with traffic. GTD has more of a tyre allotment, so they'll be probably singling through the whole race. And I remember last year being in GT, having GTP come by me on a double stint tyres and actually being able to pass them back in some parts of the track. So I saw what it was like from a GT perspective, so, you know, this year I'll get to kind of feel what that's like. So it's going to be brutal. The average pace is going to go down, but it's going to be relatively the same for everyone. So we just can't get too frustrated through that part and just know that everyone's going to be going through it at some point.
Great stuff. Enjoy the race. That's Jordan Taylor from the 40, the Acura.
Spencer Pompelli, Magnus Racing, very familiar story. We come back here to Sebring International Raceway. You've had racing experiences of yesterday. Yeah, it didn't go exactly according to plan, but Andy Lally got his sights in too. How much of an advantage is it that both of you got to do a race yesterday and now, well, you're ready to go?
Well, we're going to find out because we've been looking historically when I've done well in the GS car, we've done well in the Magnus car and vice versa. So it was a bad omen for today, but we don't know about Andy Lally being in the mix. Andy's coming off of a podium. He actually moved up to P2 after Tech. So hopefully that the GS curse, you know, or bump comes with Andy and not doesn't stay with me.
Looking at this race in particular, it's so difficult. It really, you have to earn a win here. What is it about Sebring that's different from every other race on the calendar?
It's just physical, you know, this is brutal. Even if it was 50 degrees out, 40 degrees out, it's just brutal around here. Every part of your body that touches the race car is going to be hurting at the end of it, whether it's your hands, the balls of your feet, your head bangs against the roll bar. Your body is just working a lot harder than you are a lot of other tracks because it's so tough. I've never won here, though. Andy and John have wins here. I've got wins in Daytona, the 6-hour, Petit Le Mans, multiple wins in all those. This one has eluded me. I've got a couple seconds, so I will see, man. Hopefully some of that John Potter and Andy Lally magic rubs off and I can tag along for the ride to the podium.
Might just be the lucky sunglasses today. Good luck, Spencer, finally getting that Sebring win.
These are Ryder Pompelli sunglasses, I have to say that. That was a condition of him letting me borrow them for this track walk.
Up with the number 7 Porsche, it's Dane Cameron. Dane, Porsche on the back off the back of several big wins. You are the favourites.
I'm not sure about today if we're the favorites, to be fair. It's a difficult place for us in difficult conditions. Caddy has been quite strong all week here. But the race ends at night in the cooler conditions, which normally comes to us a little bit. So, yeah, we'll try to survive the daytime, to be fair, and hopefully make a run at the win in the night.
Yeah, of course, this track is very hard to get past the traffic, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be tight and stack up in a few places for sure. Huge grid, which is great, but when you're in the top category, it can be quite difficult to have, you know, 20, 30 odd GT cars. So it's quite good as well, though. It can create some separation, some opportunity always for this class. So, yeah, and it tends to fade away a little bit as the race goes on, but the first few hours will be pretty frantic for sure.
We always talk about patience, but I mean, as a professional racing driver, do you actually feel frustrated? Do you get frustrated in the car?
Yeah, for sure. You have these stints sometimes in the top category where it feels like you can do nothing wrong and the seas just part and everything's perfect and quite easy. And some days that just seems to be wrong no matter what you do. So I make a couple of good breaks and that usually helps. But yeah, certainly you can have these very, very frustrating stints here. But it is important to be patient. Remember, you need to protect your car, protect yourself a little bit. You know, don't put yourself in harm's way. But you also can't be too cautious because then you just go backwards and you kind of get in the wrong rhythm of things as well. So it certainly is a balance.
Great, sir. Thank you, Dane. Dane Cameron now, the number 7 Porsche.
That is CrowdStrike pit lane reporter Nick Damon. Before that, Shay Adam. You're listening to live coverage on the Michelin Countdown to Green here on RS2. We'll be firing up Sirius XM 206 in a little while as well. And if you're in the area, ESPN, the Highlands ESPN, 10:63 a.m. and at the track 100.9. Hello to Johnny Mayen, who is listening live, looking forward to sound and vision. It's coming up in about 20 minutes. 20 minutes, actually. No, just over. And hello to Michael Rennick from up in Atlanta, spending the day listening and tinkering on the cars and bikes. Can't think of a better thing to do other than being here. In fairness, the sim racing bar steward has been driving LMDHs around here on the sim, a bit like driving the car around a track made up entirely of cattle grids. All that coming in. I know what you mean. At IMSA Radio. Let's head back down to our CrowdStrike pit lane. We've got the Porsche keys to the race to come, the full grid rundown as well with Jeremy. But first, let's go back to Shay as we start to talk to our pole sitters for the 72nd running of the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring.
Well, Ben Barnicot, I would ask when you're going to get an opportunity to qualify, but when Jack Hawksworth keeps putting it on pole, it's kind of hard to argue with that.
Yeah, I'm quite happy to sit on the pit stand and watch Jack do his thing. You know, he's definitely one of the best guys I've ever seen do one lap in qualifying, and it's a pleasure to go racing with him. Very lucky to be alongside him in this number 14 Sealmaster on the pole today.
When you see somebody in exactly the same machinery, you know what you can extract out of it, and he somehow just goes out of this qualifying session and gets that a little bit more. Are you in awe of what he's able to do?
Yeah, I am a little bit, to be honest, but I think, you know, Jack's been in this car for 7 years now. There is nobody in the world that's done more laps in a Lexus RCF GT3 than Jack Hawksworth. So, you know, I'm just the lucky one who gets to drive next to him and go along with the ride. You know, his pole record's incredible. Certainly helps us a lot, especially in the sprint season, having that good starting position. Here, Sebring, 12 hours, it's a bit of a different game. You know, you can start off the back and win these things. We've seen that happen numerous times. So, a long way to go today, but we're excited. Crew's been doing a great job all week and really raring to get going here.
You've got a slight change in the pit crew this week with Travis Morgan being sidelined and being stuck over the wall. What's it like when your crew chief can't then be there to send you out of your pit box?
Yeah, so obviously, as you said, crew chief Travis has got just had a big op on his ankle, so wishing him a speedy recovery. But, you know, he's still here at the track, giving everything he can. Obviously, having change, you never really want that because we have such a good crew here at Vassar Sullivan, but we've been able to bring in some new guys that are doing a fantastic job. You know, I guess the one thing is that, you know, when pressure comes, hopefully everyone can keep their cool and do what they're trained to do. It's obviously a slightly different dynamic. We've got a different driver changer in the shuffle that we've all had. So, it's not ideal, but the Jimmy, Sully, Lexus Racing always give us fantastic guys. So we're dealing with it, no problem.
Good luck today, Ben.
Thanks, Shay.
Let's see who Nick's got further up the pit lane.
See the man who's probably one of the busiest men in hybrid racing, as he managed to race in both WEC and here in the hypercar and hybrid class. Brendan Hartley sitting, spent unfortunately at the back of the grid due to a rules snafu.
Yeah, Ricky did an amazing job yesterday with the team, got the car in the window for qualifying, did the fastest lap, but yeah, small technical issue. We basically put air in the tyres on the pit lane. We could have done it over the other side of the other wall, which would have been fine, but the rule's the rule. So, yeah, we're starting at the back. It's a long race, and the big scheme of things, it doesn't matter. So we can keep it clean in the beginning. We really think we're in the fight. The Cadillac looks very quick. I'm sure the Porsche will be there as well. But we, unlike Daytona, we're definitely in the fight, and we're hoping to move forward.
We've got a lot of guys here who are doing two different classes, completely different cars. We're doing two very similar cars, but I assume the operational aspects of the Toyota and this Acura are actually completely different.
Yeah, it's a completely different driver manual. A lot of the same functions, but had to study the driver manual a bit. But yeah, I'm up to speed. I've driven the car a couple of times now, and yeah, I love it here. I love Sebring. I think it's one of my favorite places to come racing. I think a few of the other drivers down the pit lane will say the same thing, but yeah, can't wait. Can't wait to get in the car in a couple of hours.
So you've never found yourself, you know, wanting a drink but talking to the team instead with the wrong buttons? I mean, obviously some of the buttons are more serious than that.
I've gone the wrong way on a few adjustments just because they're done the opposite way in between cars. But I think I'm on top of it now, entering the race.
Great. Thanks, Brendan.
Cheers.
Well, two of our four pole sitters do not yet have their drivers out by the cars. The 47 Cetelar Ferrari, who is going to be starting in the GTD pole after the disqualification for the Windward Mercedes, which was the fastest car in the session. They are not around, and neither are any of the drivers of Spike, the Purple Dragon, that got a first pole position for PJ Hyatt in the LMP2 class. There was a giant Spike walking around, so now we have a Spike and a Rexy. But I don't see the drivers, and I don't think Spike is very talkative.
Yeah, I think some of the drivers are waiting to come out until after the Volga on the fan. What I will do is I'll see if I can talk to one of the debutants instead. That's the Lamborghini 63 and Romain Grosjean. Romain, big day for the American team here. First race in anger.
Yeah, I think it's an exciting day for all of us, for all the Lamborghini fans, and for everyone that loves race cars. We have one of the most beautiful race cars that you can imagine. We still have a bit of development to be made, but we're very excited to be here, and hopefully got lucky today.
How has the weekend gone? I mean, because you've had a couple of minor problems, but it seemed to be quite smooth, actually.
Yeah, I mean, Sebring's being a very difficult racetrack with the bumps, and it's our first race in IMSA, so there's quite a bit that we need to learn. But yes, I must say that so far so good, so I don't want to jinx it. Touch wood, and hopefully we get a good one.
Great stuff. Thank you, Romain.
Walking up, trying to get to our pole sitter. It's such a big crowd here this weekend. Actually, I'm going to dive in with Nick Tandy first, because Nick Tandy, you've never lost this race when you've co-driven with Fred Makovecki. That's got to give you an extra sense of boost, because now you're back in the car with him.
Well, yeah, and I've got a 100% record here with Mathieu as well. So, yeah, I didn't realize. I've won here three times, but yeah, to do it all with Fred, it was it's great to have him back, obviously. And yeah, we're looking forward to going racing.
Mathieu, yesterday in qualifying, obviously, it was a little bit disappointing. But the good news is you've got a very strong race car, and you've got the right brand on your chest to race at Sebring. How did the car feel this morning on the recall lap? Did everything report back good?
Yeah, I think after the heat of yesterday, there is always some concerns. But at the end of the day, the team realized the damage were not as severe as you could have imagined. And did the recall lap, everything felt all right. Also yesterday in qualifying, before the incident, the car was running well. So yeah, confident for a good race.
Good luck to you both.
Thank you.
Right at the front of the field, it's the 31 Wheeling Cadillac. It's the diminutive but incredibly quick Pippo Durrani, who's put it on pole, going for your fifth overall win at Sebring. What is it? Why are you so good here?
I just think the racetrack likes me, as I like to say. But I've been incredibly lucky to be with a fantastic group of people over the last eight years now going into this race. And I mean, a bit of luck, a bit of everything, but last one was luck. All the previous ones were like perfectly executed races. And so, I don't know, hopefully today it's another one of those where we executed perfectly and win again. But such a tough race to go through, very hard on man and machine. And it's one of those races where you gotta stay alive and make sure your car is intact to win. Last year we saw that the contact I had with the P3 car that spun damaged our car a little bit, so at night we weren't quite as quick as we wanted, but luckily things turned out and we end up winning the race. But we want to try and make sure that the car is in perfectly state before we go for the win at the end of the race.
As journalists, we all talk about number of wins, you know, and that sort of thing. Does anything come to mind for yourself? Do you ever think about all the wins, or is that something for when you've retired?
I used to when I had won my third, and then all of the races after that, they were horrible here. And then at some point I started thinking that I was already lucky to have won three, and just started taking this race again as a normal race, not one that I could, you know, end up winning and maybe making something with the numbers. So I stopped, I put the expectations aside and just take it as a normal race. Last year was a good example, you know. I was ready to, you know, pack my bags and go home, not go to the podium, and then all of a sudden things turned and end up winning my fourth. So it's racing. It's just fantastic to have the chance to be in this position so early on my career. I'm still 30 years old. You know, it's quite amazing to think that today could be my fifth win, but if it's not, man, I have four. I'm so lucky already.
Great stuff. Thank you. That's Pippa Durrani on pole. Yeah, well, we've heard from the pole sitters. But where on the grid is your favourite? Well, it's only one man who can tell us, and that's Jeremy Shaw.
Annual Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring presented by Cadillac. As we've already heard, there's 58 cars on the grid, four classes as usual. Starting at the back, we have GTD, which have 22 entries, GTD Pro 12 entries, LMP2s are 13, and for the first time in GTP, 11 cars with the addition of Lamborghini this weekend. Let's start at the back of the grid, as is our tradition. Well, the final two rows of the grid, it's all Corvette. We've already heard about the problems they had post-qualifying with the unapproved parts, basically, non-homologated parts. They've been homologated overnight, so the cars can start at the back of the grid. So the final row is the pair of AWA GTD class Chevrolet Corvette Z06 GT3Rs. Number 17 will be started by Anthony Mantella, number 13 by Ore Fidani. One row forward is the two GTD Pro Chevrolet Corvettes, run by Corvette Racing by Pratt Miller Motorsports. In car number four at the start will be Tommy Milner, and Alexander Stims will start in car number three. Row 27, that sounds cool, doesn't it, is car number 57. That's the car that had a problem after qualifying, a brilliant run by Philip Ellis to put the Winward Racing Mercedes-AMG GT3 provisionally on the pole position, but there was the sensor problems there. That was DQ'd and put to what should have been the back. So therefore, in the 53rd position will be number 023. That's a Triazzi Competizione Ferrari 296 GT3. It's Alessio Rivera who qualified it, kind of mid-pack. But it will be Charles Scardina who starts that 023 car, the Orlando or Florida-based car. 52nd on the grid. Now, from here on, we can move forward into regular qualifying, except for the fact that number 83, Iron Dames Lamborghini Huracan GT3 Evo 2, didn't set a time because they had a puncture in qualifying. You're not allowed to touch the car during the qualifying session, so no time represented for Sarah Bovey, who will start that car. Next on the grid is another Iron Lynx Lamborghini, the number 60 car running in GTD Pro. That'll be Claudio Schiavone. 50th on the grid is Kerong Lee in car number 86, the MDK Motorsports Porsche 911 GT3R. Alongside a similar car for Andretti Autosports in car number 43 is Gabby Chavez. Row 24, Ian James, along with back on the grid for the Heart of Racing Team Aston Martin Vantage GT3 Evo. That's car number 27. Alongside a similar car for Magnus Racing, that is John Potter in car number 44. The Wright Motorsports Porsche 911 GT3R car number 120 will be started by Adam Adelson, alongside the Gradient Racing Acura NSX GT3 for Sheena Monk in car number 66. 44th on the grid is car number 34, the Conquest Racing Ferrari 296 GT3 of Manny Franco, alongside Gianmarco Leverato in car number 55, the Proton Competition customer Ford Mustang GT3. Ahead of him on the grid is the factory car, the Ford Multimatic Motorsports entry running in GTD Pro. That's car number 65 for Joey Hand. And then the Wayne Taylor Racing with Andretti Lamborghini Huracan GT3 Evo 2, car number 45, the Canadian Kyle Marcelli. Patrick Gallagher will start car number 96, the Turner Motorsport BMW M4 GT3 from the 40th position, alongside the Inception Racing McLaren 720S GT3 Evo number 70 is Brendan Erebe. Row 19, Simon Mann for AF Corsa, a Ferrari 296 GT3, car number 21, alongside a second of the Ford Multimatic Motorsports Ford Mustang GT3's car number 64, that is Mike Rockenfeller. 18th row, Oliver Jarvis in car number 9, the Pfaff Motorsports McLaren 720S GT3 Evo. For company on that row is a GTD entry, car number 80, Lone Star Racing Mercedes-AMG GT3, fine run they had at Daytona. Scott Andrews is the starting driver. Another GTD car is on the outside of the 17th row, that's car number 78, the Forte Racing Lamborghini Huracan GT3 Evo 2 for Loris Spinelli. And then we have four GTD Pro cars. First of all is a number one for Paul Miller Racing. It's BMW M4 GT3 of Madison Snow. Then sharing row 16 is David Arrigon, the Daytona winning number 62 Risi Competizione Ferrari 296 GT3. And Frank Pereira in the number 19 Iron Lynx Lamborghini Huracan GT3 Evo 2. Row 15 has a GTD Pro car, Sebastian Prio, the pole sitter from Daytona in car number 77, the AO Racing Porsche 911 GT3R, and then the GTD, Mikkel Grenier, number 32, Courtauld Preston Motorsports Mercedes AMG GT3. Qualifying second in GTD Pro, starting 28th on the grid, is number 23, Mario Farnbacher for Heart of Racing Team. It's Aston Martin Vantage GT3 Evo. Then the effectively the front row of the grid in GTD non-pro. Number 12 is Parker Thompson, the Vassar Sullivan Lexus RCF GT3. And then the pole sitter in GTD is Antonio Fuoco, number 47, Cecellar Racing Ferrari 296. The fastest of all the GTD cars in practice is the pro entry, the Vassar Sullivan Lexus RCF GT3. Defending series champion in GTD Pro, number 14, is Jack Hawksworth. Moving on now to LMP2. There's 13 entries in LMP2. All but one are Orica LMP2-07 chassis. But at the back is Lance Woolsey in the Sean Creech Rotorsport, the lone Ligier JSP217. That's car number 33. 23rd on the grid, that's car number 8. For Tower Motorsports is John Ferrano. 11th row of the grid, Dennis Anderson in car number 20 for MDK by Higher Class Racing. All these cars are Oricas. And alongside the Daytona winner, Dwight Merriman, car number 18 for Era Motorsport. 20th on the grid, number 81, Henrik Hedman for Dragon Speed. Alongside Luis Perez Compunk in car number 88 for Richard Mille, AF Corsa. Row 9 on the grid is Stephen Thomas, number 11 for TDS Racing. Alongside George Kurtz in car number 04, the CrowdStrike Racing by APR entry. 16th on the grid, Gar Robinson, Riley team in number 74. Alongside Nick Boole, another strong qualifying run, fourth fastest in LMP2 in car number 52, the Inter-Europol by PR1 Matheson Motorsports. Row 14, that's all United Autosports USA. Ben Keating in car number 2 qualified third in the class, and a feather in the cap of Dan Goldberg to out-qualify Ben Keating. He will start second on the grid in LMP2, 13th overall in car number 22. But on the pole position, what a fine run for a relative newcomer to the sport. He's only been racing for about 3 years. That's PJ Hyatt, who will start in a pole position in the AO Racing car number 99. Now it's moving on to GTPs. Top 11 cars on the grid. Number 10 car, Wayne Taylor Racing with Andretti, the Acura ARX 06, was qualified by Ricky Taylor. He actually set the fastest time. Unfortunately, they made a tyre pressure adjustment while the tyres were on the car. If they'd done it, if they take the tyres off and done it behind the wall and put it back on again, it wouldn't have been a problem. But they didn't, so it was. So he has now been relegated to the back of the grid in GTP. The number 10 for Ricky Taylor then will start in 11th position. Moving on then to the top 10. It's the number 6 at Porsche Penske Motorsports. Porsche 963 of car number 6 is Matthew Jaminet. Had a spin in qualifying, caused a red flag halfway through it. And then alongside him is Conor DeFilippi in one of two BMW M Team RLL BMW M Hybrid V8s. That's car number 25. The debutant, long-awaited debutant in GTP for Lamborghini Iron Lynx. The brand new and gorgeous looking Lamborghini SC63, car number 63, will be started in the eighth position by Matteo Caroli. Alongside him, the Frenchman Julian Andlauer, car number 5, the Proton Competition Mustang sampling Porsche 963. Row 3 of the grid, that is all Porsche 963. The JDC Miller Motorsports is car number 85, Phil Hansen. Phil Hansen, by the way, has set the fastest lap of the week so far in that number 85 car, the privateer Porsche. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to get a lap in qualifying. Only three cars had two laps at the end of the qualifying session yesterday due to the red flag and then the restart, and his was not one of them. So he will have to start in car number 85 in the sixth position. That's Phil Hansen. Felipe Nasr, the Daytona winner in car number 7 for Porsche Penske Motorsports. It's Porsche 963, will start in the fifth position. Row 2 of the grid on the outside, the second of the BMW M Team RLL BMW M Hybrid V8s, and will be started by Philip Eng. That's car number 24. And then the second of the Wayne Taylor Racing with Andretti Acura ARX06s, number 40. Starting third, Frenchman Louis Delatraz. Swiss Louis Delatraz. Cadillac Racing is on the outside of the front row. The Cadillac V Series R, number 01, started by Sebastian Bourdais. And as was the case at Daytona, the other Cadillac, the Whelen Cadillac Racing Cadillac V Series R, is on the pole position. Car number 31, the fastest qualifier yesterday, and the defending series champion and race winner is Pipo Derani.
Jeremy Shaw with the full rundown. We'll send him to a dark room now and let him have a cup of tea. Let's head back to our CrowdStrike pit lane crew. Nick Damon is with one of the fancied cars, the Gould, and it really is Gould, 01 Cadillac.
Yeah, it looks resplendent in its new livery. Scott Dixon, once again taking part for one of the endurance races. Scott, I mean, how different do you feel now watching the car about to start as you did last week when you were about to start at St. Petersburg?
Just as nervous, I think. You know, we're all competitive. We all want to win, and I think it's more for the team and everybody involved, right? Just for the effort that they put in. But we've had a good car this week, man. We just don't want to screw it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's Cadillac 1 and 2. I mean, but it does seem that the others are much closer. It does seem real in the mix, certainly with Porsche and with the Acuras.
Yeah, I think it's always hard to tell. You know, you kind of see what happens in practice, and then you know, even as what we saw at Daytona, who was going to be racing for the win, was maybe different than what we thought. So it's, you know, I think the cars are competitive. I think, you know, IMSA have done a good job with the BOP. They flipped it a little bit for this race, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But, man, it's tough here. GDP is really tough. There's a lot of great teams, a lot of great manufacturers, and you've got to be on your toes, man.
Great, sir. Thank you, Scott.
Scott Dixon from the 01 Cadillac with our CrowdStrike pit lane reporter Nick Damon, Shay Adam down in the lane. The engines have fired. There's nothing else the crews can do now, Shay. They've just got to watch their charges pull away.
This is ultimately the most helpless the crews will feel, and relieved because their work has been completed. And
for
everybody
now
is sitting in their cars. No mechanics are near any of them. The command to start the engines has been given. The starter, or the person who gave the command to start the engines, is taking off. Beautiful Lamborghini, I think that's a Huracan GT3. It might even be an STO version. That's now left the pit lane. We're waiting as the Urus has fired into life. And now, bye, Pippo. Bye, Seb. Bye, Louie. Bye, Philip. Oh, this is getting good.
Thank you, Shit. The sounds of the electric motors then firing the internal combustion engines up on the pit lane. Honorary starter, by the way, 2023 Hall of Fame Major League Baseball inductee with a 19-year career at places like the Dodgers, the Padres, the Devil Rays and the Braves. Fred McGriff will be waving the green flag for us to kick off the 72nd running of the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring. It's a 50th anniversary of Mobil 1 fully synthetic motor oil as well. Lots of gold around the place, both on the track and on the cars as well as on the hoardings around the circuit. Well, that was our Michelin countdown to green. We'll have our Porsche keys to the race in the next portion of our broadcast as we bring the whole family together.
100.9 FM around the circuit here at Sebring International Raceway. Sirius XM 206. Across the Central Highlands on the Voice of Sport, Highlands ESPN, 1063 AM. And, of course, on RS2, part of the Radio Show Limited network of channels around the world. Time to go live in sound and vision as we look forward to 12 hours of rumble, of rocking, and certainly of respecting the bumps here at Sebring for 2024.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.